It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome in to another edition of the Sports Objective Podcast. I'm Dave Richmond, along with Kyle from LaGrange Barber. Hey, Kyle.
What's going on, David? How are you?
Well, I'm fired up. This episode is, I'm just jacked up, and I know Bubba is too, because we've got a huge guest on tonight from Carolina Prep. We have Chris Hughes, and I'm just really excited to talk to him, a new friend now. And I'll tell you what, guys, if you want to know about more about, I don't know who you would ask to talk more about North Carolina football than this guy. He knows everything about North Carolina football, just when it comes to, I'm talking about high school prep, not UNC. He might know a lot about that too, but we're having him on to talk about staying in his lane and talk about what he knows about. And I'm just really excited to have him on. It's a huge get by Bubba. Thank you, Bubba. It's always nice to make. It's always, we're making, in our industry, we're making new friends, which is a great thing. It seems like a lot of times it's easy to subtract friends than to add friends. So I want to give him a huge shout out to him. I appreciate him coming on. And do you guys have any thoughts about high school football this year? Are you guys excited? What team is close to you, Bubba? And why is the same thing for Kyle?
I was going to say, like you've said, numerous podcast or all numerous podcasts. I'm in the China Grove area, so it's Carson High School and South Rowan High School, which is home of former Pirate linebacker Jeff Carr, his alma mater. And also, by the way, that's Chris Hughes' alma mater, South Rowan High School. But I actually didn't realize that until a year or two ago, and then when I was looking at this information on the site, it noted that. But anyway, those are the two closest schools. And then you also have Concord High School, who's no more than about 10 miles away from me. They have a very rich tradition. You have Kannapolis or A.L. Brown High School. It's about 7 or 8 miles away. Of course, that rivalry between Concord and Kannapolis, I believe it's the longest running rivalry in the state of North Carolina. They call it the Bell Game. And now it's back, starting last year, it's back to being a conference game since Concord moved back down to 3A. But and then, of course, I always follow my alma mater, North Davidson, very closely as well.
That's right, and we'll have a chance to talk to Brian Flynn, too, and we've had a chance to talk to him. Very cool guy. And jogging while doing the interview, I was very impressed with his being so in shape that if I jogged and was doing an interview, it wouldn't be arable. So Brian Flynn is very cool to me. Coach Flynn, you're awesome. Kyle, what's your coach, and your team?
First of all, if you ever see me jogging, call the law, because it means somebody's chasing me.
or you stole something.
No, I don't.
Call the law. Kyle stole something.
No, somebody's chasing me. I promise you, I'm not a thief. Although I have stolen a lot of ladies' hearts over the years.
I'll give it to you, still Jessica's heart. So
that's right, definitely. I keep up with Kent, being a Kyle from LaGrange. I actually live in Kinston now. Give away my gimmick.
Kyle from Kinston.
No, it's Kyle from LaGrange. Can't give away my gimmick. But I keep up with Kinston High, North Lenoir, South Lenoir, at Green Central, Wayne Grifton, Eastern Wayne, Goldsboro High. But primarily Kinston High, North Lenoir. North Lenoir's got a new head coach, Coach Collins. We're going to have him on the podcast. So be checking out the Hawks this year. They had a good tight end last year that actually signed with Temple that was a Pirate fan that Coach Montgomery, for whatever reason, just didn't make the offer. But he's going to a conference rival in Temple. So some D1 talent coming out of North Lenoir there. And see what kind of year the Hawks are going to have. And, of course, Kinston Vikings are always good. And South Lenoir certainly has a football team.
All right. So, for me, I'm actually live in Williamson, and my alma mater is Riverside, what's now Riverside High. And I also cover the I'm actually joining the broadcast team myself and Bill Benjamin. We're going to be doing what's now Washington County High School, the Panthers. And so we're going to be doing that every Friday night. I'm going to give a shameless plug. Every Friday night you can hear me on Magic 95.9 on your TuneIn radio app, so you can hear me every Friday night. And I'm sure we can get Chris on. But, you know what, guys? Chris is such a great guy. He's waiting on us. Let's go to that interview with him. Let's do it now. Here on the Sports Objective Podcast, our North Carolina high school football preview, and right now we have a great expert. Appreciate him coming on. Chris Hughes from Carolina Preps, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Hey, no problem. I appreciate you guys reaching out and can't wait to get started at this and talk a little bit of high school football tonight.
Nothing like it. I can't wait for that magical day of August 17th. I've been waiting. I've been ready since May. I don't know about you. Maybe you're like me. I'm year-round. I could see the teams playing football be fine with me every Friday night.
Well, I kind of live and breathe this stuff. You know, a little bit of background about myself. I started out as a ball boy so many years ago, probably like 1981 or something like that, and just moving up as a player and a coach, and now this. I mean, it could be August, September, October, year-round, and I think I'd be happy with it.
Yeah, my wife probably would not be happy with that, but that's a whole other podcast.
Too.
But anyway, so I wanted to – I guess we could start out. So you've had a background, and then now you have – tell folks that don't know about Carolina Preps what you actually do.
Well, just think of it as an all-encompassing website that covers anything high school football in North Carolina. You know, one day I hope to continuously add some more video content and maybe make it an ESPN for North Carolina or something like that just for the high school ranks. You know, we do everything from ranked teams. I've been to every stadium in the state, so I love to rank stadiums, talk about stadiums, you know, get fans interactive on our forums. History is a big thing with me being a history major. We've got scores dating back to the 60s in our historical last team pages. You know, just putting the scores out there, helping coaches with jobs, putting coaching info out there, just anything we could do to promote the game of football is what we try to do at Carolina Preps.
Tremendous stuff, and that's what that's one of the reasons why we wanted to do this preview. There's people listening all over the place, but this particular case, we're both in the state of North Carolina, so that's where we're going to focus. I want to start one of the reasons we're doing this podcast so I can learn more about the where I'm familiar with the eastern part of the state, but especially the western part of the state. There's a lot of great high school football, say, from Greensboro West that I don't know a lot about. And so that's why I had this idea for the preview, selfishly, I would say, to learn more about that. So let's start off with what I know the least about, and that's the western part of the state. Can you help us out with teams and coaches, players that we need to look out for this year?
Sure. And I guess question back to you, do you want to go up by 4A, 3A, 2A, 1A, just in general? Because I can go in any order you want to. You kind of give me the direction,
out,
and we'll go that way.
Start out with 4A. If you want to start off with 4A, we'll just work our way down to single A. If you want to do that, it's fine. And certainly,
okay.
The great thing of podcasts, we don't have any rules, no program directors, general managers. Like, I'm the boss, and myself, Bubba, and Kyle, so we can I'll make the executive decision to go with 4A right now, starting out.
Okay, great. I guess the best thing to do is, you know, number one team in the state, in my opinion, and it's not really that close, is going to be Wake Forest. So I know that's kind of more the central eastern part of the state, so you know a little bit more about them. From the western side, though, they had that run of three straight state championships. Coach Mike Palmieri, Mallard Creek, it's almost like a college there in how Coach Palmieri runs that program. The kids that have come from there, the talent out of that school has been just insane. A lot of great athletes have come out of there. I don't think that they're going to be far off from where they've been in the past. I think that that school is just going to continuously pound on teams in the West. I do think that you know, there's a little bit more teams and maybe a few more roadblocks in the playoffs that Mallard Creek's going to have to look at, but I don't think it's far-fetched. In fact, I think it's a pretty safe bet. If you want to put some money down on it today, that it's very likely that we would probably see a Mallard Creek-Wake Forest rematch once again in the state championships.
And that's tremendous. I have a question for you, too, before we get to another thing. This is a sidebar, if you don't mind. Do you think that it's time – I get very confused with realignment. I know that's what you deal with every day. Realignment, like, just I get used to a certain conference or conferences, especially in the eastern part of the state, and then they change them up on me, so then I'm confused and that's really hard. And the second thing is, do you think we should go to a 5A system or 6A system?
You know, the things about realignment that I'm not happy with, I think that realignment should be every 2 years, because by the time they do a realignment, like say this past year's realignment when they changed over to the most current system, they take numbers from that realignment. When they do the ADMs and put those conferences together, those are from ADM numbers that are 2 years old. So by the time a new realignment starts, the numbers are already well outdated. And the way North Carolina's growing today, your urban areas, your cities, your major corridors like Raleigh, Durham, Charlotte, Greensboro, Winston-Salem, et cetera, continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger every year. But out in the eastern part of the state and even in the far reaches of the west, those rural areas are getting smaller. And a lot of that can be attributed to factories closing and just jobs leaving that part. And in so many instances, those schools are already much smaller, or in the 4A schools, much larger than they were even when those numbers were drawn. So I think a 2-year realignment would be much more fair for the school. I think it would be a better indicator of what the schools really are. That's what they do in South Carolina. A lot of other schools are on a 2-year deal as well. Now, in terms of the 3A, 4A, or 4, 5, or 6A, I've done the numbers. I've looked at a lot of different schematics that both myself, other people that's worked with me, and other websites, even the State Association. They hired some computer programmers from the SAS Institute in Cary.
Yeah.
I don't think a 5A system would work in North Carolina because of the way the schools are mapped out. I think it would lead to a lot more conferences with dual, like 4A, 5A, or 3A, 4A split conferences. I think, and I've ran the numbers, I think a 3A system to have three classifications would work the best. It works out better with forming conferences that I think would stay closer to being the same year in and year out. And then when you go to the playoffs, subdivide them and have 6 state champions versus the 8 champions we have today. I think it would be more fair. And, you know, I don't know that the state will move away from a 8 championship system, but I think just based off our numbers, 6 would be a lot better in my opinion.
That's interesting. I'll have to look at that. And certainly it just seems like the things are a little out of whack, but that's for another podcast. I know I threw you a sidebar there, but I know you could handle
it. Oh, I could talk about that all day, so it's all good.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a nerd on that one, that subject. But anyway, I wanted to ask you, as far as the western part of the state, you were talking about the 4A is, so that's the teams that Mallard Creek, you think, is the one that will be back with in the west, and then the east will be Wake Forest.
I do, but, you know, there's some other teams in the west in the 4A ranks, or in the let's just, you know, if we're going to break it up, let's say 4AA, 4AA West, okay. You know, Mallard Creek.
Right.
Think back to the semifinals last year. Mallard Creek was in a close game with Huff, which is also their conference rivals. Their schools are about 10 miles apart. I think Huff is going to be there. You know, one of the big stories has been some of the transfers and acquisitions of players that both of those programs have had here in the offseason due to some transfers, which is legal. I mean, I don't think that there's any recruiting or anything crazy like that going on, but both of those teams are really going to be strong. Coach Matt Jenkins, he's a defensive-minded coach, came from Las Vegas. He is doing a great job at Huff. Let's not forget about Butler, who's won several state championships. They're going to be in the mix. I really like their quarterback system that they got. Coach Brian Hales is doing a great job with there. And there's really about 2 or 3 other teams in the West that I think are going to make some noise in the 4AA aspect. Page out of Greensboro, as well as East Forsyth, is going to be on a major up year. They've kind of been a top 5 to 8 kind of team. I think they're going to kind of be back up into maybe a top 7 or 6 team. Really, really good year this year for East.
Well, that's going to be interesting there. So you like that. And what do you see about as far as 4AA and the Eastern side?
Well, it's still, I mean, it's Wake Forest and then everybody else. And I think the gap from Wake Forest to the second place team, which I think Garner is going to be one of the best teams Garner has had in a long time. I know they lost in the state championship game about 5 years, let's see, 2011, so about 7 years ago to Page. Garner is going to be tremendous. I think they're going to have a great season. I look for some really big things from them. I think that they're probably going to be the second best team in the East. You know, after Garner, I think Richmond County, which could go east or west, you know, depending on how the realignment goes, I think Richmond County is going to have a resurgence year. And let's not look back in Richmond County's history, whether it's 2008, 98, 88, 78, or even in Rockingham High School, 68 and 58. Every year on the 8th, that program wins the state championship. So the pressure is going to be on those guys.
I hadn't thought about that. You know, that they have that you were naming. It's funny you named Garner. That's, they've had a rich tradition over the years. And I tell you what, that fan base in Garner is unbelievable how well they travel. I mean, even to away games, they're going to bring sometimes maybe more than the home team. They're I know that program, and you, when you mentioned Rockingham County, I know them over the years, they've had some really good teams, right?
Right, and here's the interesting thing about Garner that maybe not a lot of guys have thought about. In the past, Garner has been a power eye kind of team, a T formation, just a power formation in general. Coach Thurman Leach and before him, Nelson Smith, and really just as far back as you can, Hal Stewart before them, they've been a dive pitch, belly, power kind of a team. You know, they're going to run right at you and do some really nasty things to you on kind of just pounding on your line on the defensive side. This year, they've got what I think to be one of the best rising junior quarterbacks in the state, Nolan McLean. I think last year he passed for about 2,700 yards, 26 touchdowns. He's one of the best young up-and-coming quarterbacks in the state. Coach Thurman Leach, when he was in the Shrine Bowl a year ago, learned a lot from Kevin Gillespie, who used to be the Greensboro Page coach, and running a more pass-heavy, a little bit of an option, a little bit of a run from the shotgun look. And I think this is going to be a Garner team unlike anything you've ever seen. I don't think they're going to be up under center nearly as much. I think they're going to throw the ball a lot, and I think it's going to be a lot of just an interesting look that you might not be used to.
I was going to say that one teams I've known about had a lot of good running backs right over the years.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what I remember. There's certain like snapshots I have in my head about different teams, and it seems like Garner and Dana Fielding running the ball. So four double A, we've got that. What do you think about going out back to the West? What do you think about with the 3AA?
Well, the 3AA in general is, and we forgot about the small 4A. We can go back 4A. To that.
I beg your pardon. Yeah, let's start with that.
Yeah, small 4A, I still think Scotland County's got a great chance of going back. I know that they graduated Zamir White, but there's a lot of good talent there in Laurinburg. Coach Richard Bailey has been to, I think, six state championship game or five state championship games. Unfortunately for him, he's lost all of them. But he has told me that they've still got enough talent to go back. He thinks, or at least to compete to go back. He wasn't as arrogant enough to say that we're going. I mean, he understands it's going to be a battle. But I think that the small 4A is much easier to be able to traverse to kind of get through there. Vance, if they go small, you know, they're definitely a team that you got to look out for. I think Vance, Coach Aaron Brand, you know, they could go big or little, but that would be a team that I would kind of look at from the West if they go West. One of the best teams in the East that really gets – that does not get noticed, they had an undefeated regular season loss in the second round of the playoffs, is Cardinal Gibbons. They return nine or ten starters on the offensive side of the ball. I think that that's a team that you need to kind of circle when it comes to the small 4A ranks. Hickory Ridge, which is Coach Sam Griner, who moved over from Harding, won the state championship last year at Harding. Of course, Harding's got returning running back Kavarius Crouch, who's probably one of the best running backs in the nation, although a lot of that supporting cast is gone. I don't really see them even coming close to repeating, but he is the best athlete in the country. I've been hearing he may focus more on the defensive side of the game at linebacker, because that's probably where he's going to project more in the college ranks. But 4A, Hoggard and Wilmington, I think, is still – they graduated a lot. Three good linebackers, a good quarterback, but they've still got some talent. Coach Underwood's a great coach. But if I was to put a favorite today in the small 4A, I think I would have to go with Scotland County.
Wow. I didn't expect. I guess that's again, I don't know the 4A maybe as well as I should, but that's interesting pick. So that
it's very top heavy. There's just not nearly as the 4AA is where most of the power in the 4A rank is. So it's a lot. Let's just say it's a lot easier to get to the finals in the 4A than it would be even a 3AA, which I know is where you want to go next, because the 3AA is a bear. There is a lot of really, really good football teams.
Yes, it is. That's probably, I know that one pretty well from 3AA down. I know a little bit about 4AA. I don't know a lot about 4A, to be honest. That's, again, why I'm trying to do this podcast. And obviously, there's a lot of folks that have interest around the state that would definitely learn about different teams. And that's why the state is so big. People don't realize how big North Carolina is. And so that's why we're doing this podcast.
Yeah, there's about close to 400 public high school. So, I mean, it is a big state, and from east to west, I think from Murphy to Manio, you're looking at about 600 miles. So it's definitely hard to get out there and see a lot of these teams. But, I mean, we're blessed. I've seen football all over the nation, and I think we play some of the best there is out there. So we got some great teams to talk about.
Absolutely. About 3AA, that let's talk about the bear, not the elephant in the room, but the bear in the room with that particular classification.
Well, in the East, you know, the teams that I've kind of got circled in the 3AA, I think Clayton is probably your team to look out for. J.R. Walker, who transferred in from Elizabeth City Northeastern, is probably one of the top four or five best athletes in the entire state. I think 247 Sports has him listed at six, if I'm not mistaken. Incredible 6'1", 205-pound athlete. He can play receiver, running back. He could probably play quarterback. And then you kind of put that up with Savion Jackson, who's a defensive end. It's already committed to the Wolfpack. The talent at Clayton High School is incredible. Hunter Jinks has done a great job in coming over and really building up that program. So I think Clayton's one of the teams you got to look out for. They had a good season a year ago, kind of ended not quite the way they wanted it in a loss to Eastern Guilford. I think last year Clayton went 13-1. That would be my overall favorite when it comes to at least the eastern side of the state for Big 3A. I was at the Shrine Bowl invite callback combine on Monday and looked at some of the talent that they've got from Dudley. Greensboro Dudley, once again, Coach Stephen Davis, tremendous, incredible football team. I think Dudley's going to be in the mix in the 3AA. New Hanover, the defending state champions in the 3AA, they had a great class last year. A lot of seniors left. But I actually went to one of their practices last year, Coach Earl Smith, one of the best coaches in the history of our state. They've still got a lot of guys coming up, got a couple really good quarterbacks in the system. I look for New Hanover to be good. Kind of back to the west, Mount Tabor and Winston-Salem is going to compete in that Piedmont Triad 3A conference with Dudley. They're going to be one of the big 4A teams to look out for. A.C. Reynolds was in the state championship game. They might be a little bit down, but their quarterback play is going to be amazing. But even Eastern Guilford, you know, A.L. Brown in Kannapolis, you know, Lee County maybe. I'm not sure if they'll go big or little. Southeast Guilford, there's some really good 3AA teams we need to look out for.
That's amazing. And certainly, again, one of the things I've always talked about is when you talk about talent, there's so much talent in North Carolina, it's not even funny. The problem we have in North Carolina, especially if you're a fan of a North Carolina college, meaning one of the colleges in North Carolina, a lot of this talent that we have in North Carolina escapes and they go to a different state or a different college in a different state. It'd be great to see a lot of them stay in North Carolina, but you understand why they go to the bigger schools, or especially ones in like the SEC or ACC.
Yeah, you're right on it. Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head. I mean, just if you look at the top seniors in this year's class, quarterback Sam Howell at Sun Valley, heading to Florida State, Anthony Harris down at Havelock, I think he's going to Tennessee. You've got several others that have committed to go elsewhere. Providence Day, one of the private school guys, they've got he's going to Notre Dame. several guys that's going to South Carolina. South Carolina's done a great job here in the last couple of years of coming in and getting some players. One of the best quarterbacks in the state, unfortunately, he's with the private school ranks, Garrett Schrader. He is amazing at Charlotte Christian. You know, he's going to Mississippi State. And, of course, we know Clemson has come in here and really taken a lot of talent and some other schools. And you're right. I mean, if you were really to go up and look up and down the recruiting board, there's a lot of logos from these outside area schools coming in and kind of taking our talent.
So what you're saying, we need to build a wall around North Carolina to keep all our talent inside in state.
Hey, we need to make Carolina great again. That's what we got to do. We got to make Carolina great again. And maybe I need to change the Carolina Preps hats and just get a red cap and put that on there. But no, I mean you're right. Now that's always been the case. And you know, I've coached 1 year in Texas. I've been to games all over the country, and I've said this. You know, and you can go back and look at the numbers. North Carolina, I think right now is seventh in the state in the United States for most talent in the NFL. North Carolina's talent, athletic-wise, is some of the best in the nation. And, you know, Texas, Florida, you know, some of the other states, Louisiana, Ohio, people say that those may be the best states for high school football. Well, I've coached in Texas, and I've seen it, and I don't know that the athletes in Texas or that they play any better a brand of football than we do here. The only difference is it's just more significant. You know, there's more emphasis put on it, and the fans support it better than we do. But when it comes to talent, we've got some of the best there's been, and all you got to do is look at some of the past NFL drafts. I mean, look at Julius Peppers and you know, Todd Gurley just got that big contract, and, you know, Mario Williams. I mean, a lot of North Carolina homegrown talent has been the best of the best in the NFL.
No doubt about it. We'll get back to the certainly we're looking at – and 3AA, I know we talked about that. What about single A, 3A? What do you think about 3A there for the West and the East?
I think there's a very good chance that we have a rematch at the state championships this December. I think Havelock and Charlotte Catholic are leaps and bounds above everyone else, and it's just amazing what both of those programs do. You know, Havelock, again, I mentioned Anthony Harris a little bit ago, a tremendous athlete there, and what Caleb King has done at Havelock is just great to carry on what Jim Bob Bryant was able to build during his tenure there. Charlotte Catholic's just a polar opposite program. Charlotte Catholic don't have nearly the talent, especially collegiate-bound talent, than at Havelock or anyone else has. But the level of coaching from Coach Mike Brodowitz, especially at the offensive line where they just pulverize other teams, is just amazing. So I really see those two teams coming back at it. But there's going to be some teams really coming after it. Kings Mountain. I was at Kings Mountain High School today visiting with Coach Greg Lloyd in Cleveland County. Right there on the South Carolina border. They've got 10 starters coming back on an offense that scored about 40 points a game. I don't know how the defense will hold up, but offensively they're going to be really good. So Kings Mountain's a team to look out for. Crest, we've seen them win a bunch of state championships over the years. I think they're going to bounce back and kind of be back in the mix. Southern Nash, which is in the eastern side, you know, talent. I mean, athlete for athlete, they put out some of the best skill position players, Coach Brian Foster, year in and year out. So you got to look out for them. A couple other teams, though, in the small 3A that I would keep an eye open, Jacksonville, if they go small, J.M. Robinson, Hunter Huss, Sun Valley. We haven't talked about Sun Valley. You know, they've got quarterback Sam Howell that's going to Florida State. There is countless teams in the 3A, and that's not – you know, I'm working on putting out my top 25 rankings here around August 1st, but there is literally 50 teams in the 3A that we could talk about that you could make an argument for being a top 15, 20 team just because of how deep the 3A is this year.
Wow. So is the 3A overall, is the 3A have the most parity when it comes to the state high school football?
I think so, and the 2A is probably right there with them. And, again, a lot of that may have been caused by how the state association did our most recent realignment to where it's a 20-30-30-20, meaning that 20% of the schools are in the 1A and the 4A, which means that 30% and 30% make up 3A and the 2A. So it's just a much bigger blob of teams, and so many of them are right there together when it comes to the numbers, and there's just a lot of teams. And, you know, you also had about 30 I think 25 or 30 really good 4A teams in the way the realignment changed, that went from being a 4A team to a 3A team. And you know, some of those teams, and, you know, you're talking about the likes of Greensboro Dudley, A.L. Brown in Kannapolis, Mount Tabor in Winston-Salem, Clayton, you know, a lot of those teams, D.H. Conley in Greenville, that were incredible teams at the 4A ranks, that now all of a sudden they're in the 3A and they're the big fish in a small pond.
And they did. And in fact, the job that they're doing at D.H. Conley is tremendous, with Holt Naylor's going to East Carolina. A lot of those, it's a pipeline now. At D.H. Conley, when I was going to East Carolina, Rose was the school that everybody was looking to. And D.H. Conley was kind of like the county high school that nobody was really paid. They had been bad for a long time. And now they've turned that ship around, so to speak.
Except for baseball. I think D.H. Conley had always been a baseball school,
right.
But you're right, and just the turnaround that they've done. I think a lot of the credit needs to go to Brian Pascal, who was there before, who kind of put
right.
a little bit of a foundation down there. But Nate Connor has just done a tremendous job. I know Coach Connor well. I'm proud to call him a friend, and he's done a great job in his 3 years. And if I think back, he's won 11, 8, and 11 in his 3 years. But, again, you know, you look at about the 4 or 5 years with Coach Pascal before he took over. I think he won 8, 11, 8, 8, something like that as well. So, you know, he just kind of took the torch from Coach Pascal. And, I mean, Coach Connor took that torch, and he's just taken that program to new heights. And, you know, the excitement around that team is just unbelievable. And I was at the game. I think it may have been the last regular season game when they defeated South Central in the playoffs, 78-43. And you mentioned Holt
yeah.
Naylor's. I mean, it looked like Coach Connor was like controlling him with a PlayStation controller. He was so dominant in that game. I think he accounted for like 10 or 11 touchdowns in that game. Just simply amazing.
Well, the Rose and Conley game, there was maybe a year before last, was an unbelievable video game kind of numbers between both teams. Not much defense, but a ton of offense between the two schools, for sure. And when I think about Conley, for example, when you were talking about Holt Naylor's, the funny thing is I was at the Tulane game in November, where it was very cold on November 11th at ECU. There was only 12,000 people in the stands. I think there was more. I don't know this for sure, but I think just by eyeball test, there was more people the night before watching Holt Naylor's at D.H. Conley versus the next night at with ECU. But that just tells you how great the point I'm making is. Tells you the fan support that they have at Conley is tremendous to be a high school program.
No question. And I do remember that game 2 years ago. I believe Rose won that game 77-67, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, speaking of Rose, I think Rose has a chance to be a much better team as well. You know, Coach Dave Wojtek, he's a good buddy of mine. He spent just about all of last year as a coach on a little scooter. He had a very badly broken leg. And he's one of the best offensive line coaches I've met and interacted with. And I think the fact that he was on that scooter and unable to really get down in the trenches and really coach up those linemen, I think that hurt that program tremendously last year. I think most of the linemen they've got are coming back. I expect that Rose team to be much improved over last year.
Well, I tell you what, Chris, the eastern part of the state, like I told you, I know a lot better than the western part of the state. We're talking about the 3A, I know, 3AA, 3A. What about, so are we done with the 3A? Do you have some more that you want
to
add?
Well, no, we can go to the 2A. I have okay. no problem. I mean, I could, like, again, I could sit here for 30, 40, 50 minutes maybe talking 3A football.
Me too. But I'm trying to.
It's all good. Oh, man, you're not taking that my time. This is what I do is talk football. But 2A is going to be a great year. Hal Brighton, in my opinion, you know, they won the 2AA championship last year. I think they peaked a year early. I think Hal Brighton is going to be tremendous. I was talking to Coach Clay Lewis the other day, and they return, I think, all but about three major starters off of last year's team. They had a couple of the guys that went to the Shrine Bowl and is going to be playing on Saturdays this year. But High Brighton won the 2AA championship this past year. I think they're going to be a lot better. I look for them to kind of really kind of really be right there and making some noise. You know, some other teams, Wallace Rose Hill, I think they're more of the two. They're going to be right there. I don't see a lot of a drop off with them. In fact, Coach Kevin Motzinger, and you know, he's a very go getter kind of guy, and you just got to know his personality to kind of get Coach Motzinger. But he told me that the talent that they've got in the pipeline down in Wallace and in some of those schools in Duplin County, he could see them on a run for the next 4 or 5 years. He's so excited about that young talent coming up. I don't think we're going to see much drop-off whatsoever. They've got some big games this year. I know they're going to host Cardinal Gibbons, who, again, is one of the better 4A schools this year. So get down there to the Dog Pound, the Legion Stadium, because that's going to be a great one there. But I think Wallace Rose Hill is going to be amazing. Reidsville, I mean, what can you say about them? That's like Titletown, USA. I think they've got 18 state championships. They're going to be in the mix. North Davidson, who played a great semifinal game against East Duplin. North Davidson returns nearly all their starters from that team, so I could easily see North Davidson as one of the favorites in the 2A ranks. Of course, Shelby, I mean, we all know about Shelby. They're going to be great, and maybe not quite as good. Malik Surratt, the quarterback who played an East-West game, graduated. So, you know, the coach Lance Ware is going to have to find a way to replace him. He's got a young quarterback that played JV, last name Best. He is probably going to be the best option for Shelby, and he's a basketball player, but a great athlete in general. I think he's going to be steering the ship for Shelby. So I still think they're going to be pretty good. Of course, you got to look at teams like South Point, and one of those teams that moved down from the 3A ranks. Elizabeth City Northeastern, now they did lose J.R. Walker, but they got Travion Freshwater, who may be the best athlete I've seen in North Carolina coming back. West Craven, talk about Havelock down in Craven County. West Craven, I think, is a team that kind of had a little bit of a down year to their standards. I see them popping back up on the scene. I think West Craven's going to be a handful for some teams.
Wow, that's I tell you what, you got me all excited. Can we play tomorrow night, our first game?
Absolutely, and also 2A football. Let's not forget about Whiteville. Whiteville's a team that very well may be in the top 25 when it comes time for my preseason rankings. I'm not sure where they're going to land. J.P. Price, Coach Joey Price, longtime coach at Wallace Rose Hill, South Columbus, he has come back up from South Carolina to take the reins at Whiteville. Of course, his dad, Joey Price, who's now a minister, by the way, down around Tabor City or Loras, South Carolina. One of the best wing T coaching families. They kind of come off of that Jack Holly wing T tree from back in the day. You know, we know the success that Coach Price had at Wallace when now his son's going to take over. And in those latter years, I think JP was doing most of the work and a lot of the legwork anyway. He's going to be a tremendous head football coach. And even last year under Coach Luke Little, who I think the world of, he's now at Morganton Freedom, I think that Whiteville's got a chance, in my opinion, to kind of shock the world. And they could be a dark horse pick for me to compete to go to a state championship game. Do not be surprised to see the Wolfpack up there making some noise.
And what were you saying about Freedom? I love that school.
Yeah, Coach Luke Little, who was the head coach at Whiteville, he is now – he replaced Jim Bob Bryant, who left after 1 year at Freedom to go to Georgia. So, you know, he's going up to Freedom. So that's going to be an interesting move.
Yes, it is. In fact, that school was – one of my good friends is that's his alma mater. So we've been up to some high school football games there and – for sure. So love Freedom High School and give a shout out to the folks there at Morganton.
That's a great environment for football. I've been up there many a times. They've got the big rivalry against their old county, their county rival, East Burke. They play in what they used to call Fat Friday, which was one of the best rivalry games in the state. Now, before they kind of consolidated I shouldn't say consolidated, they built two new schools. So they really broke apart those two schools and opened up Patton and Drone High School. You know, before those schools were kind of formed, that game between East Burke and Freedom would draw roughly 12 to 15,000 every year. I mean, an incredible rivalry game. You know, you'll never see that again as long as they've got the four high schools in that county. But that is one football-hungry region of the state.
When you were talking about certainly when you were talking about earlier, one of the things we're having in the eastern part of the state is not growth, but we're actually seeing consolidation. That's something I wanted to talk about in 1A when we get a chance. But that's something that I hope that we can see where we're going to grow before I die, but I don't think I'm not going to hold my breath.
Well, the big cities are going to grow. I don't know if you're going to see the rural counties in eastern or western North Carolina grow at any time. And I think that that's, you know, I don't know. I don't want to get into the political landscape, but you know, you got to look at rulings like NAFTA and stuff that happened in the early 90s that allowed some of these smaller textile and manufacturing industries to move out of town. And now 20 years later, I think we're starting to see a lot of those communities just kind of that were once thriving communities. And I could mention communities like Windsor up in Bertie County that used to be a large 3A school and other major towns in North Carolina, Kinston, Goldsboro, that were huge towns that now are just shells of themselves. And as much as from nostalgia purposes, I'd love to see those cities get bigger. I don't think we'll ever see it in our lifetime.
Maybe not, and we'll just have to, like, you know, it's kind of like a game of poker. We have to go with the cards we're dealt, right?
Absolutely.
That's a thing called life. What else did you want to talk about, 2A, and then if not, we'll move down to 1A whenever you're ready.
Well, I think I highlighted most of the big-time 2As that I'm kind of tracking in terms of being some of the top 10 teams. Again, like 3A, I mean, there is probably 20 or 30 really good 2A schools that we could talk about, but I think I hit most of the high marks with those guys. Of course, if there's any smaller pinpoint geographical area that you want to hit, I can always talk about those. But, you know, some other top teams in the 2A that I would kind of keep an eye out for. You know, Franklin up in the far western reaches of North Carolina, always a tremendous program. Mountain Heritage, they were 13-1 last year. Coach Joey Robinson's son was a quarterback. He's graduating. I don't see them quite what they were. Maidens, the school I was at earlier today, you know, they're going to be up there in the mix. You know, South Granville, Newton Conover, South Columbus, Mount Pleasant, they have a big game with Shelby early in the season.
Right.
East Bladen. I mean, there's just so many good 3A schools or 2A schools. We could just sit here for hours and talk about them.
That would be fun. I wish we could, but I could talk to probably 2 or 3 a.m. for sure. And when it comes to high school football in North Carolina, the 2A ranks, and what about 1AA? What are you seeing this year on your radar as far as we'll start with the western part?
I think it all comes down to Tarboro. I think they're probably the best team, period.
Oh, my God,
regardless. Yeah, I mean, I think it's Tarboro. I think it's Mount Airy. Kind of the last two teams from last year. I think that they're leaps and bounds better than everyone else. I think North Stanley is probably in that mix. I think they're going to be a top two or three kind of a team. Edenton Holmes, Holmes, Coach Paul Hargard, I think they're going to be a little bit back, but they're still probably a top five or a top six kind of a team. Other top teams in the 1A, you know, that's really it when it comes to the big 1A. And there's a lot of teams we could talk about, but the drop-off from the top two or three teams down to the other teams that might still have a good record is tremendous. And a lot of that comes to scheduling of who some of these teams play that allows them to have some better records sometimes. And just, you know, 1A football is just such a different dynamic than anything. We could talk 3A or 4A, because in 1A, you know, you could have one player, and it's kind of similar to basketball. You have one playmaker that could come to a 1A school that doesn't typically do well, and he move in, or if he moves out or gets hurt or something, can change the dynamic of football so much. I mean, it is a night and day difference, and I just outside of those couple of teams I mentioned at the 1AA level, I think the rest of these schools are just nowhere even close to that same ballpark.
Well, Chris, I can give you full disclosure, a shameless plug, but I actually am going to be joining the broadcast team for the Washington County Panthers this year, where Crestwell and Plymouth are speaking of the consolidation, that's what I was getting into. And our very first game at Foster Field, we have Coach Cody does an excellent job of the non-conference scheduling tough games to get you ready for conference, but also the playoffs. And this year we have the Vikings of Tarboro once again.
Absolutely. And speaking of Washington County, and I'm still, even with the consolidation with Creswell, I'm assuming they're probably still going to be a 1A versus 1AA school. I may be a little bit off on that. I'm not sure, but I don't know if that's how that's going to help the numbers. But, you know, Plymouth last year was 9-6. I don't know how many athletes are coming over from Creswell, but I do know that Coach Rogers is coming over to help Coach Cody. I spoke to Cody at length on the phone a couple of weeks ago, and he is one of my most favorite persons in the whole world, for the record. How could you not like Coach Cody? Any man that lives beside the school and drives his lawnmower back and forth to school every day is my kind of guy.
Exactly, and I tell you what, you want a soundbite? If anybody listening right now and you love high school football, you need to check out, I know I sound like a homer, I'm not. I've covered high school football or watched it for many years. Coach Cody is one of those old school coaches that's been around for a long time, and he's going to forget more football than I'll ever. I could stay up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and not ever know as much as that man does.
Man, Coach, you're right. Coach Cody's invited myself, my wife. We've been to his house. I met his family. Just a great guy. In fact, as I sit here in my office, I got a Plymouth helmet sitting right here in front of me that he gave me, and just a tremendous guy. And you know, you got to go and talk life with him. You know, he grew up in the Biltmore Forest, just on the grounds of the Biltmore State in Asheville, and went to college in Elon. And he could just tell you some stories of growing up in the mountains on all that land. His dad was an Angus farmer, I believe, or either a forest or something. I think he was a farmer one of the two. I might have my stories mixed up, but I do know that his father worked on the estate at Biltmore, and just the fact that he was able to grow up like that, it was incredible.
Yes, so I wanted to ask you about my alma mater is Riverside High School in Riverside-Williamston, I guess. What do you think about Coach McGill? Is Williamston going to go back to the playoffs this year?
I think so, and I like Coach McGill. He is a tremendous guy. I think that he is probably a little I think he's probably overlooked when it comes to some of the better coaches in North Carolina. He's certainly been around for quite a while now. In fact, I remember Coach McGill when he was an assistant at Lee County High School back when I was around Douglas Spur back in the Fayetteville area many years ago. So he's been around quite a while. I like Coach McGill. There's some, you know, looking at some of the talent that he's got coming back, you know, had some really long players. By long players, I just mean some great receivers and defensive ends who could just get there and take up space. And I know last year, and I don't have his stats right here in front of me, but I know that he was throwing the ball up quite a bit last year and really going after it. And I just like what they've got going on. Now, you want to talk consolidation, and I was talking to Coach Harrell and some of the other guys from the county, and I think that there's a possibility, you know, here in the next 2, 3, 4 years, I'm not sure the timeline, that we're going to see Riverside and South Creek consolidate. I think that that's something that could happen. But in terms of this year, you know, I remember back last year, I know that they lost a close game with Bertie, and, you know, I think they lost a close game with Northampton, and, you know, they were in some close games. I know they had a close one with South Creek. If I'm not mistaken, that might have been like a one-point game with South Creek. But, you know, they're going to be a good team, and I just like what Coach McGill does. He threw the ball up and just did a good job, and I think is it Blake Beach, or he's got a Beach kid, a quarterback, who's going to be back for one more year as a senior. I think he's got I think he's got him coming back, and I think he had a good little bit of some other talent coming back. I know he had a couple of really good freshman receivers that made an impact. It was Jadavion Bonds. I think that's the guy I'm thinking about, the big, tall, 6'5", 6'4", 6'5", receiver that caught a ton of passes last year. But I think Riverside's going to be a good team. I talked to Coach McGill at the coaches' clinic in Greensboro a few weeks ago, and he had high hopes of the team and said that they were going to be a better team. But he's a realist kind of guy, and he's just to get his hands dirty and go out there and coach the team up and get them ready kind of guy. And there's no question they'll be prepared.
So at Double A, so you're liking, I know it's pretty much in the East, Tarboro and everybody else?
I think so. And in the West, I do think that Mount Airy is going to be the top team. Although I do think that North Stanley is going to be a team that we're going to have to contend with. They could be the dark horse.
I do have another sidebar for you. I've asked this question to other folks in high school ranks, and maybe you can help me understand this. What is in the western part of the state that, what are they feeding them? They're like mountain men. I'd ask David Thompson of the Asheville Citizen Times, what is it the guys in the mountains that are feeding those guys? When you see the state championships, you see the guys from the western part of the state, a lot of times it's not even close how big those mountain boys are compared to the kids from down east.
You know, you're right. That's a very good question. And, you know, the same could be said for the eastern part of the state. And I've always said, and, you know, I coached in the East. I thought the East always had the quicker, most speedier talent, a little bit more athletes than maybe the West. But the West typically is a little bit better when it comes to size and maybe a little bit of strength. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's just good cooking or what the case might be, but you're right. I mean, and I'm not trying to be too funny with that, but you're right. I mean, them boys up there, especially in some of those mountain schools, you know, like Swain County and
right.
Smoky Mountain and Cherokee, and some of those guys come down. I mean, they are just flat out bigger. Mitchell County, you know, they all kind of come to mind.
I love the mountains. Of course, I love our state because I love the beach and I love the mountains as well. Wanted to ask you about the, so we've got Double A. What about 1A now?
You know, a lot of it depends on which way Murphy goes. If Murphy goes small, I think Murphy would probably be a favorite. Cherokee, I think, is still going to be in it, but Cherokee had such a tremendous class last year. I'm not sure if we're going to see the same success out of them this year. We may. A couple other teams that kind of stick out. North Rowan out of Spencer, you know, they've been a 2A, although they could be a Double A team. Swain County, depending on which way they go. East Surrey has a lot of talent. I mean, a lot of talent. They've got a coaching change. Coach David Diamond was there for decades. Now they're going to have Coach Trent Lohman, who come over from East or from Bandy's now leading the way at East Surrey. They've got some really good-looking athletes, great quarterback. I think they're going to maybe spread the ball a little bit out, maybe throw it a little bit more necessarily than Coach Diamond did. Mountain Island Charter is one of those teams that you got to look for. You know, speaking of your neck of the woods, I talked to Coach Sport Sawyer at Mania a couple of days ago, and they, you know, I think they're going to be a lot better. They're a team that, you know, I'm not saying they're going to win a championship, but, you know, I think they could be, especially in the small 1A ranks, I think they could be a second or third round kind of team, kind of building off last year's 9-win season.
I had a question before I forget, too. There's an interesting story in Lenoir County out of Kinston with Parrot Academy actually going to 11-man football. They're going to play in my neck of the woods, Beargrass Charter. I think it's their very first 11-man team this year, or it has been a long time. Do you?
I believe it is. I believe you're right.
They've been, like, dominant with 8-man football. Do you have any feelings about that, about Parrot Academy? They've been big time, and now they're going really big time with 11-man football.
You know, I don't know a lot about them. I have been to the school one time. I think I may have spoke with the coach about 10 years ago.
Okay.
I don't really know a lot. Now, when it comes to playing a school like Kinston, you know, or even North Lenoir, you know, man for man, I don't think they're going to have the same kind of talent. But I think that you know, those kids, if there's anything about them, those kids are used to winning. I mean, they've had some good success in the 8-man ranks. I just don't know how that's going to translate. Now, I've never coached the 8-man ball. I don't know a whole lot about it other than it's 8 men. So, you know, I might have to get a little bit smarter on that that category before I give you a really educated answer. But it's just so hard to tell. I mean, it really is. And – just in just the style of athlete, the speed, et cetera. But I know they've held their own for a long time.
Well, I can tell you, just so I don't want to make it about me, I have coached under Leonard Baker at Eastern North Carolina School for the Deaf and eight-man football. And we had no choice because we just didn't have the numbers to play 11-man anymore. So by the time I got there, it was eight-man. And it is definitely – you got still the same dimensions as far as the field. It's definitely video game numbers. It's the defense. It's very hard. I mean, obviously, it's very hard when you only have eight men to defend. It's definitely not a defensive kind of guys sport as far as it's very hard to defend. So you're going to have a lot of big time. We were talking about Rose and Conley that game a couple years ago, year before last. It's those kind of scores, 64-48, or these big numbers, which. If you like offense, eight-man is definitely the way to go.
Oh, yeah. I remember watching some of the games just on the highlights of Coach B.W. Holt when he was at Rocky Mount Academy.
Yeah.
And it was just like 70, 80 points just about on a weekly basis. Now, since you brought up eight-man football, I was at the North Carolina football coaches meeting in Greensboro last week, and also there was some conversation I had with some sports writers about this. You know, with some of the local high schools folding varsity football for this season, and those being in East or Cedar Ridge, you know, East Chapel Hill did it last year. I'm even hearing reports that Chapel Hill could fold after week one this year. You know, with stuff like that happen, I think that numbers are continuing to be on the decline when it comes to high school football here in the Carolinas. And when I say numbers, I mean like numbers of players. I have heard rumblings that is it just a matter of time before maybe some of the 1A schools go 8-man versus 11-man. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that. I don't want that to come across as a report that Chris Hughes said that we're going to play 8-man public football. But I've heard that as an option as numbers continue to decline.
You mean like, for example, what we were talking about earlier with the consolidation of schools, and they would just keep going down and down and down?
Could a school like, you know, I know Creswell's already consolidated now, but let's just say hypothetically before that happened, could a school like them or a school like Cape Hatteras or, you know, another school, Madam Mesquite or something like that, I mean, could they just decide they want to play an eight-man schedule out of necessity?
Right, it's not necessarily because they want to do it. The same thing when I was at the School for the Deaf. They played it because one of my responsibilities as assistant coach, honest to God, Chris, was looking behind me and knowing how many guys we had on the field. If we had five guys behind me, that means we had eight on the field because we only had 30. It's basically like a basketball team playing football. What I mean by that is numbers-wise. You had 13 guys, so you had eight guys out there. So if I had five guys behind me, and it's kind of scary because you can't have a lot of injuries. If not, you probably won't be able to field the team maybe in the second half.
No, I get it. And I've got some friends that's coached on some of those really small staffs of teams. And it's a challenge unlike anything that a coach at a big school could ever comprehend because it's just not something that you could fathom. But, I mean, you know, in some of those small schools, you just don't have the luxury of numbers.
They don't. And as far as 1A, do you think overall, who do you like in the West and the East to compete? Do you think it's going to be a repeat, or are we going to see different teams? What do you think?
I think it could be some different teams. I think Mitchell County is going to have a chance to get up in there. I really think that they're going to kind of be in the mix. Again, some of it could be a difference just as to who goes up and down. That number always seems to be kind of fluid, and there's always a few teams, again, like Murphy, who kind of flip-flops big and little.
Right.
If Murphy goes small, then without a doubt, I think that they would be a 1A team. Thing, and you know, talk about a consolidation one more time. You know, I'm hearing that this is going to be the final season of West Montgomery and East Montgomery before they consolidate. I don't think West, you know, they went 11-3 this year. I don't think they're going to be nearly that good this upcoming season. But you know, 1A football sometimes just survival, and sometimes you can be a lesser team and make it all the way just because of, you know, one team gets an injury, somebody else just peters out, and you got a chance to overtake them in the playoffs. So, there's some good teams out there that could make some noise. Thomas Jefferson has been right on the cusp, although they had to forfeit all the games they played last year. But they're going to be right there in the mix. Northampton County, I think a small 1A team is going to be right there. And I don't want to overlook North Duplin and Coach Hugh Martin. I like that guy. He runs a split back veer, which is kind of my cup of tea when it comes to offensive football. But yeah. I don't think they've got quite the talent to make it back in the East. But on the flip side, I think some of the teams that they were playing against, like Lakewood, I don't think Lakewood's nearly as good. So, maybe they'll be able to compete with the teams they're playing. There could be a couple dark horses. Polk County in the West could be a team to look out for. Again, Washington County, they're in your neck of the woods. I mean, if they're small 1A, I certainly think that they'll be in the final two or three. There's no question about that.
It's going to be interesting to see. I got a quick lightning round. Can you give me in your opinion, West and the East, the best fan bases? Do you have, like, or there's a couple that come to mind that really stand out as far as following their team?
Well, the best fan bases could sometimes be the worst fan bases that cause them trouble for a coaching staff, I've learned.
Right.
I'd say best fan base in North Carolina, I'm going to go Richmond County.
Okay.
I guess they could go east or west, I'm not sure. If you want to go in the east, maybe Richmond County. In the west, I got to be quicker than that. I might say Crest.
That is a good one. That's a good pick. What about stadiums? Which ones do you – name your favorite stadiums in North Carolina.
Well, I think the best stadium with the most character is Asheville High School, Asheville Memorial Stadium. Love it to death. If you want to talk about absolute best just because of the newness and just what all they've got, Cherokee is amazing and second to none. Probably my top five other favorite stadiums, Memorial Stadium at A.L. Brown High School in Kannapolis, it's a great one. Burlington Memorial Stadium or Williams High School, that's another one of my favorites. Really good stadium. Today I was at Kings Mountain, incredible facility. There's a lot of good ones out there. It's hard to really single any one or two out, but we're blessed to have some great structures in this state to hold football games.
Yes, we are. It's going to be a tremendous year. You've been tremendous. I appreciate you giving us a lot of time tonight. I could talk to you for several hours, and I hope we can have you back again.
Anytime.
In the middle of the season or definitely towards the playoffs for sure.
Anytime. It was my pleasure, and I likewise could just sit here and talk football all night. I mean, that's really what I do. It's kind of my job, and I love it. And I just want to promote our sport, promote our state, and hopefully just make football that a little bit more important to the people in our state, and to promote, take notice of the young athletes we got out there, and the coaches, and everybody that just does so much to make football in North Carolina better.
Chris Hughes with Carolina Prep.
Again, follow us out there at carolinapreps.com and follow me on Twitter at Chris Hughes CP. But, man, it's been outstanding to be on here with you.
Guys, I had a tremendous – I tell you what, Chris Hughes got me jacked up listening to him talk about all the different schools. And we tried really hard, Bubba, right? I mean, and Kyle, to break down every division and every classification from 4AA all the way down to 1A. We tried really hard, and I think he did a really good job. What do you think?
Definitely. I was going to say it was a very thorough preview, as you said, and taking a look at all eight classifications with the two, the sub-classifications within each of the divisions. So, you'd be hard-pressed to find a more thorough interview, that's for sure, or a more thorough breakdown of how things are going to shake out or potentially shake out this year, because Chris Hughes stays on top of things. He's traveling around to these schools, talking to these coaches, and he has a good pulse on everything.
Just Google Carolina Preps. Let's give him a plug. Carolina Preps, just go there. You can find out anything you want to know about. Even if you're a coach and you're looking for a job, it's on carolinapreps.com. What do you think, Kyle?
I echo everything Bubba said. Great job by Mr. Hughes. Getting ready for the high school football season should be a lot of fun. I always get excited the first week of high school football season for the the local shows on WITN, WNCP, WCTI in my area. But Bubba, what do you have in your area? What are your local high school football shows in the Charlotte broadcasting area? Do you watch those on Friday nights?
I would say a lot of times I don't watch them because I'm either coaching, or the last couple of years where I've been on the middle school level, what I've done is go to more of the North Davidson games, since that's my alma mater. Last year, of course, they made a run all the way to the semifinals in 2AA. So last year I went to probably, I'd say, at least 9 or 10 ball games over the course of the season. So, and then when I didn't go to their games, I checked out some other area games. So a lot of times I'm missing those highlight shows. But what you have, WBTV, maybe out of Charlotte. But then you also have like WXII in Winston-Salem, WGHP, which is High Point, and WFMY in Greensboro. And they do a very good job with the thorough recap shows. And then they'll always have a game of the week. And then the winner of the game of the week gets to come to the station and participate in the highlights. And they'll bring, you know, the cheerleaders and that sort of thing. So pretty good setup and a lot of good high school football coverage in the area.
Well, guys, we're going to have to wrap it up. I know Chris and I were long-winded. We love sports and we love football in this particular case. August 17th is a big night. High school football in North Carolina. We're going to have Friday Night Lights. It's just a very short time away, and we're going to have it for Kyle from LaGrange and Kinston Barber, and we have Bubba Rosenbaum. I'm Dave Richmond for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.